Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y, and you're listening to Wisecracking with Winter. Happy November! Happy Turkey Day, all you turkeys out there. I hope you had yourself a safe and sound Thanksgiving, like we did over here in the Funhouse. I got a giant show planned for you today. Probably the best show we've ever had. And that's saying a lot. I think I say that every episode. And we have a new exciting sponsor because everybody likes commercials, right? I know I do. And you know who else likes exciting sponsors and Thanksgiving? It's your good pal, Producer Paul. Producer Paul, are you with us in the Funhouse?
I think so.
You are.
I mean,
well, welcome back,
I'm actually
buddy.
In my basement, but my voice is there, right?
It's there, buddy. So how was your super sexy, super fun Thanksgiving this year during the old pandemic?
It was pretty quiet. Pretty quiet. Just my wife and I. And some food. And a little football.
Yeah.
And a Zoom call with my parents and my brother.
Yeah.
So your parents can figure out the whole Zoom call thing? It wasn't too much technology for them? Your old man wasn't ready to take a goddamn ball peen hammer to that computer?
You know, they've done it a few times. There's always seems a little bit of a challenge getting everything up and running, but they usually get it figured out at some point.
You stupid son of a bitch.
Your dad never said that at least one time to the computer?
Oh, I'm sure he has.
You stupid son of a bitch.
I've said it myself a few times, so I'm sure he has.
Yeah, I'm sure. So did you did you sit and eat your Thanksgiving meal in front of the Zoom camera? And everybody ate together?
No, we ate separately and then just talked in between meals, I guess. So it's a little easier that way. Since Zoom is kind of, you know, a pain in the ass and trying to hear what people said, people talking over each other, and you know,
yeah,
eating a mouthful of mashed potatoes at the same time.
Yeah.
So what kind of conversations were had over Zoom with mommy and daddy and your big brother out there on the East Coast?
Oh, hey, how's it going? How's everybody there? Good, great. Yep, fantastic here. So wish we could be there. See you all in person. Can't wait for next year.
When was the last time you saw
him?
Well,
yeah.
When was the last time you saw your parents in person?
It was probably like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, well, so they're not too worried about the COVID-19. They were fine with you stopping by and hanging out for a while, or did you have to go like sit in a corner and stay like 6 feet away from them so not to make them sick?
Yeah, they do believe in the coronavirus as being real.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the stupid fucking idiots that I see posting shit on social media, saying it doesn't exist or nobody should be worried about it or whatever.
Yeah,
no,
the conspiracy
actually, the
nuts are
we,
still hanging around.
The reason we went up and saw my parents about a week before Thanksgiving is because the weather was nice. So we sat outside on the deck and visited
that
a little bit
really
outside
nice.
Where you've got nice natural air dispersal. So
nice quiet time with your parents and your wife. Sitting out on the deck, enjoying the fall colors. Maybe you got a little hot and popped your shirt off. You shared a bottle of wine. Oh, okay.
60s, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing like here in Minnesota. It's already down to 25 degrees, my friend.
Yeah. I don't think my parents would want to hang outside in that weather.
But that's good that you got together. So your parents aren't super paranoid with the whole COVID-19 thing where nobody can come over. We're not going anywhere. We're going to order all of our food on whatever delivery service there is in the Circle City. They're fine going out to the Walmart, picking up what they need, heading back to the family casa.
Think it I don't over. Know, I feel like you're painting like a picture of like strange people who try to avoid social interaction to not get the virus. And yeah, I mean, they, I think they've been in stores with their masks on, but they do, I think, sometimes get their, order their groceries to, for pickup, you know, where you pull up and they just toss them in the trunk for you and you're on your way. You don't have to go in and rub elbows with all the hoi polloi.
The hoi polloi? Is that like a hill jack?
I mean, the hill jacks, I think, would take my time. I think the hill jacks would be included in the hoi polloi, yeah.
So a hoi polloi is a lot like a hill jack. Maybe you should explain what a hill jack is.
It's a lot like a hillbilly.
Yeah.
Hoi polloi is a hillbilly really to you. There's another word for, like, you know, the masses, the common folk. But hill jacks are kind of, you know, folks who, well, what? They're like hillbillies. You know what a hillbilly is. I don't need to try to explain it to you.
So that's good. Have you been staying in the house and watching a lot of TV, not going outside?
No, I go outside. Is there something wrong with going outside?
No, no. I mean, I don't know how seriously you're afraid of the COVID-19 getting you.
Well, have you heard of people getting it by standing outside?
Oh, I think you can probably get it outside.
Is that a new thing?
Well, you
think. Last I checked,
you
can get it by standing outside. Unless maybe like standing outside with, you know, downtown Manhattan where there's everybody asshole to elbows. But that's not how 99% of Americans live. So most of us can step outside without fear of getting the coronavirus.
I'm not going to involve politics anymore, but I think there's a lot of people out there that are anti-maskers and anti-government and all that stuff. And occasionally I like to mix it up with them on Facebook. I don't do a lot of trolling, and I wouldn't consider myself a troll. But I couldn't help laying into some guy on a relative of mine's Facebook page today that kind of turned into a pretty good tit-a-tat. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
I got it right in front of me here.
Lay
so he's talking
me.
About
take your time though.
I'm getting there.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm getting there. So we're talking about masks and anti-maskers and that type of thing. So this guy says that the masks don't work. Not for any normal, rational, or common sense type person. It's the fear-loving, drama-driven, the sky's falling idiots that try to tell you that there's data to prove what has happened to the state of Minnesota and it's justified. I dare someone to tell me I'm wrong. So then I said, do you dare me? And he is like, yeah, I do. I'm like, well, do you triple dog dare me? And he's like, we're all waiting for your response. I said, well, the numbers are most definitely up in the state of Minnesota, and you can't argue with that. Personally, I know 8 people currently battling the COVID-19, including my own daughter. These people were all in good health before they caught it and haven't needed hospitalization, thank God. But if we don't, as a state and as a nation, act like patriots, and protect the vulnerable, the hospitals will most certainly overflow. Some people are vulnerable and don't even know it. Exclamation point. So grab some freedom fries and hunker down there, buddy. I'll leave his name out of it. So what did you think of that response before I get to his?
It was okay. There was something there towards the end that I didn't get, but then it slipped my mind already because, you know.
Yeah.
Short-term memory problems.
Well, I'm sure all the people at home are following along if you're not.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's his response. I was really following along, but it just
got by me there.
So here's his response. He said the numbers are up because testing went up.
Okay.
I mean, I've had people tell me that before. Do you have a good retort for that when you say, well, the numbers are through the roof, and some hill jack says, well, it's because they're doing more tests? What would be your response, Producer Paul?
I mean, I don't live in your state, but I guess like if you were talking to somebody in my state, I would just refer them to the actual statistics on the state website, which show that, you know, in the last 2 months, positive tests are up about sixfold, but the number of tests being conducted is only up maybe 50%. So the positivity rate of the tests has gone up like 4 or 5 times what it was 2 months ago. So they're not, you know, they're not testing 6 times as many people to get 6 times as many positive results. So
gotcha. That
should kind of blow that stupid argument out of the water. And then also you could look at, like, if you were in my state, you'd see that the number of people hospitalized today is like 6 times, five, six times what it was 2 months ago. So
yeah,
you know, if they were just testing more people, there'd still probably be the same amount of people in the hospital with COVID-19.
So, Paul, would you like to hear his response?
Oh, yeah. I'm here with bated breath.
I'd rather watch Jell-O get hard.
So he said the numbers are up because testing went up. And they obviously go hand in hand. And, of course, you know people with it. We all do. It's a flu virus, and it's November. Do you mean protect the vulnerable like has been done for the past 50 years? Along with washing hands, not sneezing, coughing, or spitting on people? Do you mean basic hygiene? The hospitals won't overflow, man. Stop watching the fake news and hunker down, laugh out loud. No thanks, dude. I haven't worn a mask yet or stopped doing normal operation or communication. Like any virus, you need to get out, eat healthy, exercise, and get enough sleep so your body can use its own immunity. You know, fight out the virus like our bodies have been doing since birth. Apparently, I'm not going to add anything yet. The exact opposite of what your government, apparently he doesn't live in America, I did add that, is commanding. Zero of what you had to offer above justifies a stitch of what the governor has irreplaceably forced upon Minnesota, notably the students and athletes here. Nor does it offer any reasoning for the blatant inconsistencies in data or guidelines, or the overall lack of any common sense or to said others. And he's still going. Can you believe he's still going?
Yeah, that's
now
a lot.
We all sit.
It's so much. It's hard to respond to it because I feel like I should have written it down.
Now, we all sat here waiting to be enlightened by your facts and insight. We free thinkers and patriots were once again let down. I guess I didn't offer anything. And we'll continue to go about our business mask-free if we choose to and live life as designed, not as the weak attempts at being forcibly ruled. Give us some facts, some concrete, non-arguable facts and reasons for killing the state of Minnesota and a country over a flu virus. Otherwise, feel free to grab your mask and your own freedom fries there, buddy. Take your own seat and enjoy your solitude. I'll be out doing what we normally do with whomever we choose, as much as we choose to, along with the other free thinkers. The sellouts can wait in line.
Holy
for shit. For their handouts. My fries are not for sale. And that's followed up with an American flag. What say you, producer Paul?
I'm just worried. Is the show over? Is there time to respond?
There's plenty of time to respond.
My first thought is like the amount of time somebody spends typing that. Like, you know, I mean, everybody's free to do what they want, sure, but it seems like you probably could accomplish some real tangible things as opposed to typing all that drivel on Facebook.
What if he's a really fast typer, like 70 words a minute, though? You know,
well, it's not even just you can't even I don't know if you can think that fast, but geez, I mean, I guess you can think at 70 words a minute, but still, that had to take several minutes out of his day. You know, he could have like washed his car or raked up some of those leaves that are still in his yard, shoveled his sidewalk. I don't know if you guys have snow falling these days or not up there. I assume he's probably local to your area.
I don't know where he's from. I don't know where. I mean, this is a.
You don't even my know my cousin's.
I don't know him. No.
Oh. You didn't check his profile to find out more about him?
No, I have not checked out his profile at all.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, good to know you haven't wasted too much time on this, but yeah, I don't even
know. Is there
know,
anything in here?
What? I'm sure there was plenty of things to respond to, but I mean, just this lunacy about like, oh, well, if everybody is just, if you practice normal, healthy behaviors and you exercise and get plenty of sleep, your own immunity will just protect you like it always has your whole life. Like, yeah, that's why like nobody had died before this year, you know, until they reached age 100. They died in a fiery car crash or something. Nobody ever died from a virus until this came about. This must be what he thinks. I don't know.
He's a big believer that this is all just a conspiracy and
oh, to control
and nobody's
people?
Really sick. Yeah, it's right. All about
who came
controlling
up with
people.
It? Did, like, was it China's idea or just the Democrats here or what?
I'm guessing it. China's behind it and Russia's behind it, right?
Because China wants to control Americans. They're trying to destroy
I think they already
kind of
do. We buy all right? their products, don't we? What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Well, they want to destroy our economy, I suppose.
I guess
and,
so.
And the Democrats want to control everybody because they've just always hated freedom. And
right.
wanted
they
people
have.
Not to have any freedom. And or they're just stupid and they're going along with it to help China even... unwittingly. I don't know.
I suppose
dude.
So.
It's so stupid.
I responded to him.
Say these things, but
I responded to him. Do you want to hear my response? People at home, do you want to hear my response?
First of
I
all,
think
you
they
know
do.
He's stupid because he said it was a flu, which it's not a flu. The flu is the flu. Things that aren't called influenza aren't a flu. So, but let's hear what you had to say. Maybe you said that to
okay.
him.
Okay.
I'd rather watch Jell-O get hard.
I said, you're not a patriot. You are a problem. I don't watch state news, Newsmax, or OAN. I'm not a believer in QAnon or any other bullshit conspiracy. This is a virus that has never been seen in humans, so absolutely no one is immune to it. That added to the fact that it spreads as easily from person to person as influenza and infects the upper respiratory system is what makes it so dangerous. Plus, there is no vaccine widely available yet. I'm not going to change your mind with science or logic. You and other mouth breathers have just decided to turn your backs on science and common sense. But hey, that's your choice. And myself and the majority of real Americans have no interest in continuing these pointless conversations. And I follow that up with the peace sign, a Christian cross, an Islam moon and star, and a Hanukkah thing, and an American flag, and
like
a black
menorah?
Santa. A menorah. Yeah, that thing. The menorah and an American flag.
What about Hindus?
Paul, your thoughts?
You leaving out Hindus?
Well, what's the Hindu symbol?
I don't know. Isn't it like Vishnu, the guy with like six arms?
Yeah, it could be. I couldn't find a Vishnu emoji.
I don't know. Maybe next time take a picture when you see a car with that coexist bumper sticker on the back.
Right.
You know, it says coexist and all the letters are made out of all the different religious symbols. Yeah, I'm sure one of them must be a Hindu.
And the only reason I'm even bringing any of this up or reading this on the show is because I think a lot of people out there are running into this stuff still. Even after the election is over, I mean, some people, I'm sure I have some fans out. It is. It's over. I'm sure there's plenty of some people.
You know, the Electoral College doesn't even convene until December 14th.
Right. Yeah. I don't care.
Anything can happen until then.
Sure. No, nothing is happening.
Nothing's happened yet.
It's over. But there's still some people out there that want to argue this stuff. And are still anti-masking, still believe the lawsuits are going to work out. And you may run into them on Facebook. So I'm reading all this so people have an idea of how to respond in a polite manner. You don't have to go right to calling people names and or making fun of the president or, you know, ripping apart the lawsuit thing. I mean, I'm trying to figure out ways to win these arguments easily for people. And I don't know. Do you want to hear his response, Paul, to my last response? More? Yeah, he kept going.
Hey, can I ask you a question about your response first?
Sure.
So you called him a mouth breather. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I think a mouth breather is somebody that's genuinely considered to be stupid.
They just like don't know that they can use their nose.
Right. I don't know. Like it's an old
congested all the time.
It's an old insult. I'm not sure where it came from. So, okay. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So, what did he have to say this time?
He said, "Your goofy insults only prove my points that there is no basis for the garbage position the governor of Minnesota has put the economy and the residents in for no good reason. You sound like another hypocritical bully on here with no basis. I, in fact, asked you to dazzle us with your science and logic, but you threw out petty insults instead. Trump, he's an asshole. Not a politician, which is just what this country needs. Holding people accountable instead of catering to them, unlike how the left buys votes with my tax dollars. As far as science and logic goes, my background in pharmaceuticals as well as physics, statics, S-T-A-T-I-C-S. I think he meant statistics.
Yeah.
Right. Theory and forensic accounting. So this guy, I'm going to hit pause in this. I mean, this guy seems like he's an expert on everything, right?
A real smarty pants.
A real Rhodes Scholar. So forensic accounting might make me one of the more logical, process-driven, and rational people you'll ever meet in your life. But I forgot that you think you know me. You're right. No one is immune to this virus. You have to be exposed to it before your body will create antibodies. And then he did an emoji with the guy rolling his eyes. The antigens through a vaccine. Plenty of articles on how vaccines work. Check one out. P.S. You can't hide from it. My guess is you deem the conversation pointless because you've got nothing to base your argument off of. All you have is jumping on the bandwagon because it's easier. You can put yourself on a non-existent pedestal as you attempt to ridicule those who you think differently than you. And you're seemingly too lazy to do any real research. Funny how conclusions get drawn out, isn't it? I'm still waiting on your acceptance of my double dare to prove me that the data that you've compiled proves driving this state's economy, its health and well-being, and its education system into dire straits is justifiable. Show me your data. Producer Paul?
Yeah, so while I stopped listening to that, I did pull up some data.
And, oh, okay, great.
I'm looking at influenza deaths estimated by the CDC. And over the past 7 years, the total number of American deaths that they have estimated from influenza is 267,000. And I believe that the total number of U.S. that just about matches the number of deaths from the coronavirus, in the last 9 months. So that's about nine times, killing about nine times as many people as influenza. And that's also, if you think about it, with all the mitigation efforts we've done with having things like bars and nightclubs and sometimes restaurants closed for indoor dining and people wearing masks and trying to social distance. Yeah. So, and yet still, like, hospitals are pretty full of people with COVID-19. So, and it's just so dumb to talk about, like, ruining the economy when the fact is if everything were normal and people weren't wearing masks and everything was open 100%, I'm pretty sure the hospitals would be overrun. You'd have like MASH style tent hospitals popping up. You'd have patients just in beds, like sitting in the hallway waiting to die. Like I saw images of from Italy early on in the pandemic. You'd have, am I still on?
Well, yeah, you're still on. I'm just listening to you preach.
Okay, sorry. And then the effects you'd have on the economy long term, I think, would be a lot worse because, when the hospitals were full, like not just full, like overflowing full, I think people were like really would be afraid to leave their house. I mean, if you knew that like the hospitals were so overrun that, if you had a heart attack or got in a car accident, like there wouldn't be anybody to treat you. I think that would have a much more crippling effect on the economy than the pretty reasonable restrictions that we've had put in place to this point.
Yeah.
Well said. Paul, should we do an ad?
Yeah, I was just thinking we should probably do an ad.
Let's do a Paul Lambe over at Carpenter Realty ad. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and give me one of those? I'll give you some background music. Ready?
Okay, sounds good. Okay, hey there. You might be looking for a house because everybody's got to live somewhere, wherever it is you happen to live or are about to move to, or maybe you need to sell a house because you're trying to get the hell away from wherever it is that you're at and you want to be somewhere else. Well, you got to sell a house or buy a house. Who can help you with that? Oh, I know. It's a guy named Paul Lambe over there at Carpenter Realtors. That's Paul Lambe, L-A-M-B-I-E, at Carpenter Realtors. He can help you find that house you're looking for, wherever it may be. He can help you sell that house you're looking for, wherever it may be. That's what he does. He's fairly good at it. Give him a call. He can help you. Mike? Okay. I don't know where
Buddy, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Well, why was it that long 10-second pause.
Because I was trying to log into my Facebook on my computer, and I don't remember what my password is.
Oh, I hate when that happens, don't you?
Yeah. Why does there got to be a goddamn password for everything?
You know what I've been saying I'm going to do for like a year and a half?
Too many passwords.
I'm going to get one of those password managers. We should, you should
try password manager.
Ink a deal with a password manager. I'm not going to name one now because, you know, you don't have a deal to advertise them, but there are things called password managers. And, you know, you pay like an annual fee, but what you do is you log in to that app or whatever on your devices. And then it, for every website you have to log into, it creates automatically for you some random password that might be like RX47 apostrophe 95B, you know, whatever. Something nobody would ever guess. But you don't ever have to remember because it remembers it and automatically logs you in. All you need is that one password to get into your password manager. So, yeah, it could be really handy. Like I said, I've thought about doing it for quite some time and just haven't gotten around to it. You never heard of that?
Well, okay. Yeah. I'm going to do my – and we have a new sponsor.
It wasn't a joke.
I went over to –
you know, whatever.
Well, we've got new technology. I'll let you in on it.
That Facebook password.
Yeah. Well, I got on it.
You didn't have to take a ball.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I did. I just got my phone out and looked. We're using a new platform called Zencastr. So we're trying to move into the future here. And this is our first show done on Zencastr. So if you have Zencastr, if you're another podcast, then you know what it is. It's pretty cool so far, but we're figuring out as we go how this, or I'm figuring out, Paul's just sitting at home. But we have a new sponsor, Producer Paul. Producer Paul, you like hot sauce, don't you?
No, I'm not really a big hot sauce guy.
You're not. But if you were a big hot sauce guy, and you'd be willing to try a new hot sauce if
like
I sent you
that
one, right?
You mean like that Cholula stuff in the bottle that everybody's into these days?
That what?
Cholula. The hot sauce that comes in that stupid little tiny glass bottle that people want to put on everything now?
Yeah,
no, I know what that is, but
that's not what you're selling, though, right?
But you'd be into hot sauce if I sent you a free bottle of hot sauce, wouldn't you?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't tried it.
You're the fucking worst goddamn pitch man I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? Tell me about it. Maybe you can sell me on it.
Dude, there's this new sauce. It's called Who Hurt You? Who Hurt You Sauces. They're out of Richfield, Minnesota, run by a good friend of mine, Tim Cruzen. And they've got a hot new product on the market, okay? It's called Who Hurt You Verde Sauce. Is that how it's pronounced? Verde.
Verde.
I'm sorry.
It's Spanish for green. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's a green sauce. And I tried it, Paul, and it's fantastic.
You know what?
It's
See, here's your problem, dude. You call it a hot sauce when really it's a salsa verde. I love salsa verde.
Well, tell us a little bit about salsa verde. What is salsa verde, Producer Paul?
Salsa verde is a green salsa.
Yeah.
It's typically most commonly made with tomatillos, which are a member of the tomato family, but they're a tiny little green guy that comes in a husk. Sometimes people call them Mexican tomatoes, but they're not, I mean, they're tomatillos. They're good. They're a little bit milder. I mean, they're a little spicy, but not too much. I don't know. They're good. It's tasty. It's good stuff. So send me a bottle of this salsa verde hot sauce.
Can I finish the commercial?
Try it and tell you how darn good it is next time.
So Who Hurt You Verde sauces are the very best sauces on the market. So you're wondering Mike, how the hell do I get one of these
verde sauces?
Right. Where do I get one? Here's what you do. It's super easy. Go on Facebook, because everybody has Facebook. Let's face it. Everybody's on there. Or you know somebody is on there. If you're not on Facebook, you're like, hey, Mom, would you log on to your Facebook and help me find Who Hurt You Sauces? Send them a message. Send my buddy Tim a message on his Who Hurt You Sauces page on Facebook. And he will send it to you. Yeah, tell him Wisecracking sent you. There's no place to put a promo code. Just tell him that,
Mike
Winter and producer Paul sent you from Wisecracking with Winter. And he will send you some of this Who Hurt You Verde sauce. And it's delicious. And producer Paul, I'll send yours in the mail tomorrow. How's that sound?
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Right, I'm good. Sure it's 100% better than that other garbage hot sauce I mentioned earlier.
Right. You don't like that hot sauce much, do you?
I mean, I think it's played out. It's overdone. Played out.
It's overdone.
Overhyped. A lot of hype.
You're over it. And you want to know what else, ladies and gentlemen? If you're looking for a DJ or you're looking for entertainment for your upcoming event in Minnesota.
Because you're just totally no throwing further. Caution to the wind.
What?
Because you're just totally throwing caution to the wind, or you've seen through all the virus lies, and you're like, hey, yeah. I'll just do a 300-person indoor wedding without masks, because let's do it.
Yeah, what you said. Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to DJ your wedding, or you need a balloon twister, we have those. You need a magician. You need an officiant. You need a caterer. You need all this stuff for your upcoming wedding. You need a photographer. Do you have a producer, Paul? You're married.
Wait, you got so caterers you know what it, now?
Yes. Yes, it's all under one tent. At Evolve Entertainment. You can also find them on Facebook, because I didn't want to pay to build a website. I co-own this company, ladies and gentlemen.
Holy cow. Do you serve steak,
I co-own
or is it just fish or chicken?
It's verde sauce.
Oh, it's all verde sauce at the catered
no.
event?
No, it's a wide variety of stuff. We got it all for you under one tent, Evolve Entertainment on Facebook. So if you're a blushing bride and you're already stressed out because of the pandemic and everything else that's going on, you're pulling your hair out. It's like, I don't know what to do. I got to get the flowers. I got to get a photographer. I got to update my Facebook. I got to find a DJ. My husband won't help me because all he does is watch football on TV.
That's right. That's right, I'm watching football. I'm your husband, and I'm not doing that shit. You better figure...
I can't get it on to... Go to Evolve Entertainment, and we will take care of everything for you. That's Evolve Entertainment on Facebook. Right, Paul?
Yep. Evolve 1080 Entertainment.
Right.
1080 not included.
For show.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul... What are the 13 worst holiday films of all time? Do you know what they are? Because I have a list.
Oh, man. Is the Santa Claus in there?
I don't know, but we're going to go through all 13. And I'm going to get your thoughts. Should we start at 13 or go with 1?
No, you got to start at 13, dude. Suspense.
Got to start at 13. All right.
Maybe as we get closer to the top, we'll be able to... think of what was left out.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, come
in
at
holiday movies, Christmas movies,
worst Christmas movies of all time.
Movies, Christmas Vacation. Wait, no, that's a good one.
It is. Number 13 is Jack Frost from 1998 with your boy Michael Keaton. Have you ever seen Jack Frost?
No, I didn't know that was a movie.
It's one boy's dad tragically dies in a car accident. That's funny. On Christmas.
Yes. And then Michael Keaton runs around biting people on the nose.
No, that's a werewolf.
No, that's what Jack Frost does. You know, he nips at your nose.
Right? He nips at your nose. Oh, that was good. That was very good. You know what? You deserve one of these. There you go, buddy.
Yeah.
So anyway, this boy's dad died in a car accident. And but then a year later, it's revealed that hilarious. Jack Frost, played by Michael Keaton, has been reincarnated into a snowman who looks after his wife and son. So is that something that you would spend time on?
No. Next.
No? You have no time for the snowman father? Next.
You stupid son of a bitch.
All right. Number 12. Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas.
Next.
You're not going to watch that either.
You lost me at Tyler Perry, I think. But
I'd rather watch Jell-O get hard.
Have you seen this one, Mike?
I have not. Medea's back, and it's time for Christmas. If the critics are to be believed.
How many Tyler Perry movies have you seen?
None.
Me neither.
I don't think I think I've seen half of one. Medea's back, and this time it's for Christmas. If the critics are to be believed, it was not at all a smash hit. No, I have not seen it. Well, all right. How about
put in your Netflix queue?
About number 11, Jingle All the Way. Have you seen that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh yeah, Jingle All the Way.
Do you know what it's about?
I don't know. It's got Arnold in it, so that makes it worth watching. Sort of, right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a father who will stop at nothing to beat an evil madman played by Sinbad in order to get his son an elusive toy for Christmas. Will you watch a minute of this?
I feel like I must have seen a few minutes of it, but when you mentioned Sinbad as like an evil madman, like who could possibly see Sinbad as an evil madman?
Nobody. Nobody. It's a complete clunker. I think I have seen it actually, and it sucks. It really sucks. Number 10, dude, Santa Claus the Movie, 1985, starring Dudley Moore. Have you seen that?
Dudley Moore, no.
Dudley Moore, who's famous for playing a drunk called Arthur, right? Arthur is a good movie.
Is that related to B. Arthur?
No, the movie Arthur.
No, I didn't see
Arthur. That. You've never seen Arthur, dude?
Wasn't Arthur the name? You know, B. Arthur was in that sitcom Maude, right?
Yeah, 100,000 years ago.
What? Yeah, but wasn't her husband's name Arthur?
I don't fucking know.
And he was a drunk.
You stupid son of a bitch.
No, I don't. I have no idea. We're talking about. So it's the origin story of Santa Claus. Claus is a man who delivers toys and eventually becomes Santa Claus after honing in on his craft with a toy making elf named Patch. I've actually seen this movie. It's not that bad.
No, that makes more.
I didn't think it was that bad. Well, for a kid, I mean, 1985, I was 11. I think it was on HBO, and I watched it. It wasn't, you know. Okay, coming in at number 9, The Perfect Holiday, made in 2007. The Perfect Holiday. Have you seen this?
You know what? I just want to update people. I don't want to leave them hanging. Maude's husband's, I think his name was Walter. Not Arthur, but you know, it's kind of close. Six letters, ends in an er. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Number 9 is what?
Yeah.
Number 9 is The Perfect Holiday, starring Morris Chestnut and Gabrielle Union. With Charlie Murphy, Cat Williams, Easy on Love, Terrence Howard, Queen Latifah. All right.
Come on, this has got to be good. That's.
Gabrielle Union is a struggling divorcee and single mom of three, so naturally her youngest daughter hooks her up with a mall Santa who knows exactly how to compliment her. What do you think?
Sounds boring, but it? I mean, I ain't the cast sounds it. Good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No. Okay, number 8. The Santa Claus 3. The Escape Clause. Starring Tim Allen and Martin Short.
Sounds awful. Sounded awful at Tim Allen.
Though the original movie was a hit and the sequel wasn't terrible either, the third installment of the Santa Claus series falls horribly short. Santa, also known as Scott Calvin, invites his in-laws over for the holidays, but his arch nemesis, Jack Frost, who's popping up again, played by an annoying Martin Short, is scheming to take over the North Pole and thwart Santa's plans. Okay, Paul, what do you think? You gonna watch
I haven't that? Seen any of the Santa Clauses.
No.
But yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Okay. Number 7, Black Christmas, came out in 2006. Black Christmas, horror movie.
I don't think I've seen it. You?
Okay. No. Sorority girls, Christmas, and an anonymous prank caller. What could go wrong? Apparently everything. 14% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Sound good to you?
What about a sorority?
Well, I guess.
But it's Black Christmas. Is it like is it black people in it, or what do you think?
No, like black, like.
Oh, like black is bad? Evil.
Like black is bad. Yeah, bad guys wear black. Must have been a white guy that came up with all that.
It sounds terrible. That. I think it'd be better if they had some black people in it.
All right. Number 6, Trapped in Paradise, 1994, starring Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey.
You said Nicolas Cage, and I was like, okay, that's why it's on the list.
Yeah. What do we think of this? Do you know what it's about?
No, but do I need to know?
Of course.
First of all, it doesn't even sound like a Christmas movie.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it's about.
It's got Nicholas. Well, I mean the name, Trapped in Paradise. All right, tell me what it's about.
Three brothers, John Lovitz, Dana Carvey, and Nicolas Cage, get out of prison around the holidays and immediately get back to their life of crime. After committing a bank heist, the brothers get lost in the getaway car with a huge amount of stolen cash in a small suburb full of suspicious police. What do you think?
Sounds like it belongs right on the list.
It's not tripping your trigger, huh? All right.
You haven't seen that one?
No, I have, actually.
I figured you had.
What did you Dana Carvey. I like Dana Carvey. But
yeah, how about John Lovitz?
I like John Lovitz too, and I don't mind a good Nick Cage romp, but
there's such a thing.
What? Yeah. Number 5, Surviving Christmas, starring Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini, Christina Applegate, and Catherine O'Hara. Have you seen that?
I don't know who that last one is, but...
Catherine O'Hara?
Sounds terrible. Yeah. No.
Not exactly the movie that Ben Affleck... What?
Oh, you got that tubby gangster guy.
Right.
You got J-Lo's ex-husband. And you got Kelly Bundy in a Christmas movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then some old lady... O'Hara, Catherine Old Lady.
Catherine O'Hara? She was in Home Alone. I don't know if you've watched Schitt's Creek.
I watched that last night.
Schitt's Creek?
She's the mom?
Okay, she's the mom. Yeah.
Okay. So she's not that old, but she actually, maybe she's the redeeming quality in the movie. I don't know. Have you seen it?
No. Yeah, not exactly the movie that Ben Affleck is known for. Affleck teams up with Christina Applegate, Catherine O'Hara, and James Gandolfini for the story of a man who returns home, nostalgic for the holidays and spending time with his family, to realize a new family has moved in. He pays them a great deal of money to pretend they're his parents, and chaos ensues.
Well,
that is, what year is this Surviving from? Christmas.
Oh, you're still
2004.
Talking?
Yeah, 2004.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that before or after The Sopranos? That's probably before.
After.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
After.
I'm sure it still sucks.
Number four, Deck the Halls, came out in 2006. Seen that?
Is that what? I don't think so. Is that, does that also star Tim Allen?
No. Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito engage in a neighbor's war of epic proportions as each tries to outdo the other with extravagant Christmas lights and decorations.
Oh, God.
What do you think of that?
That sounds pretty bad, but it actually, you know, Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito, like, sounds like something I could watch, but I probably don't need to.
6% fresh, according to Rotten Tomatoes. 6%.
The tomatoes, is that the crowd or the critics? I always forget.
That would be the critics? I don't fucking know.
That's the critics, and then the popcorn is the crowd?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the critics are always tougher. What did it get on popcorn? How many popcorns?
It doesn't give the popcorn. Maybe it didn't even register.
It probably at least got into double digits, maybe up into the teens or something. Still, probably, you know, we can pass on that one. Hey, are we up to the top three?
We're getting there.
Did you see that one, Deck the Halls?
No, I haven't.
So have you seen the top three? Have you seen the list? Do you know what's coming?
We're in the top three here. Number three.
Yeah, but have you seen them? Do you know what they're? Do you know what's coming?
I don't know. I don't remember what they are. Number three,
I was
Christmas.
Ask if you could guess what's up there? But I guess you just want to steamroll right on through. Go ahead.
Just roll them. Christmas with the Cranks.
I've heard of
Christmas
it.
Christmas with the Cranks came out in 2004.
I vaguely remember that coming out and thinking, I don't want any part of this.
After their daughter joins the Peace Corps, Mr. and Mrs. Crank discover that the best way to save money this year is to totally skip Christmas. They book a cruise and are completely shunned by their otherwise festive neighbors, but once their daughter makes a surprise holiday return, the couple scrambles to put together a Christmas party in under 24 hours. And for more ways to ruin your holiday, never mind. That was like an ad or something.
You were reading ad copy.
5% fresh, according to Rotten Tomatoes. We haven't seen it. Number two.
Sounds better than the last one, I think.
Number two, this is your boy. Number two, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, 2014. Have you seen that?
I thought you were going to say Al Pacino. I want to see Al Pacino in a Christmas movie. Has he been in a Christmas movie?
I hope not.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him to stoop to that level. But he wasn't that stupid. The movie with all the old guys pretending like they're badasses. That looked pretty embarrassing.
Which one was that?
I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. It had like Sylvester Stallone at like age 70 and Pacino at like 80. And they're like acting like superheroes or some shit. I think they made a sequel.
Are you talking about the what was that? I know what you're talking about.
I know you do.
It began with an R.
Yeah, the Replaceables or some shit.
Yeah. You got a computer in front of you. Look it up.
The Expendables, right? Is that it?
The Expendables, yeah. Because now
it starts with an R.
So this Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, and on the bottom it says, "Put Christ Back in Christmas."
Oh,
got 0% fresh according to Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
It says 0%. 0.0.
Wow.
Yep, another film that racked up a zero score. Saving Christmas follows Cameron as he attempts to save his sister's annual Christmas party by showing everyone how to put the Christ back in Christmas. I can't believe you haven't seen it.
It sounds like something that would be on like the on Lifetime or something. I was going to say the Hallmark Channel, but I think their Christmas movies are better than that.
I think last one, dude. Are you ready? Number one.
You got a drum roll or something?
I'll look on my Zencaster thing here. I got this.
Okay.
How's that?
Do it one more time. There you go.
Okay.
Charge on. Number one.
The worst movie of all time.
The worst Christmas movie.
Yeah.
No, because otherwise Old Explorers would be eligible.
Right. The Nutcracker in 3D, 2010. Have you seen that?
No. I haven't seen anything on the list. I sure as hell haven't seen the number one worst Christmas movie of all time.
0% fresh, again, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Not even names like Elle Fanning and Nathan Lane could save this British / Hungarian movie Rotten Tomato rating. But for way better movie options, consider the films with best fictional holidays. See, they always throw a fucking ad into the copy and trips me up. But so it's the Nutcracker. I mean, everybody knows what the Nutcracker is. You ought to.
And, I think I saw the play like 40 years ago or something.
Right.
In a school field trip.
So these are the worst movies to not watch.
Worst Christmas movies. This year.
Worst Christmas movies. I'm sorry. We got to do football picks. We're getting near the end of the show.
Holy crap, right? Already?
Yeah, we missed the football picks like last week. So
did we do all the exciting, upbeat things yet? I thought we were going to talk about rock festivals.
There are no rock festivals.
Oh, I know, but I thought we were going to talk about the anticipation of maybe they'll come back and how exciting that is.
That it might come back. I don't think there's going to be any rock and roll festivals for 2021, do you?
Really? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure, but I can tell you that the Rock Fest over there in Cadott, Wisconsin.
Cadott, Wisconsin, rock solid. 2021 brings you Rock and Roll Forever Fest.
They say it's hot, dude.
Yeah, right.
They've announced the lineup. They're selling tickets. So, I mean, you can say it won't happen,
Night
but...
Ranger. Foreigner.
Oh, Night Ranger, that would be pretty awesome. But no.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I mean, who are they going to get?
You want me to... let me pull it up here real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's mostly the same people they said they were going to have last year. It's like I said last year, it's not a super strong lineup. But they've got Korn. They've got
Korn's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to pull up, showing the headliners. And,
did you want more cool music while you did the lineup? Here you go.
Let me go back to the homepage.
Rockfest 2021, Cadott, Wisconsin, rock solid.
Here's
your list of hot bands. Go and waste your money on. Okay, producer Paul, go ahead.
Alright, I mentioned Korn, Disturbed, Anthrax.
They're cool.
I'm embarrassed to to say Limp Bizkit. Like, I mean, I'm not making the lineup, but a little soft. Stained is actually out touring.
Stained's not bad.
I mean, they're not good. Snoop Dogg is supposed to be there.
Snoop Dogg, what? Snoop
Dizzle, Fred, Theory of a Dead Man. There's a number two spot, like just before the headliner, that's pretty nice. So. You got a lot of bands that, you know, coming out here. Motionless in White, Bad Flower, Avatar, Steel Panther, Of Mice and Men. Headlining the opening night in the tent is Queensryche. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Queensryche ain't bad.
Slaughter's supposed to be there. Bad Wolf.
No reaction.
Gemini Syndrome. Sitting down to the bottom of the barrel. I don't see a lot of bands worth mentioning. Crobot.
Crobot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I saw them once. I'm looking to see if they're showing the cover bands. Oh, Fresh Fighters. You can imagine who they're covering. Jet Threat.
Never
Mad Alice. Cowboys from Hell. Nirvana.
Yeah.
Dressed to Kill. Looks like they're a Kiss cover band. That could be interesting. I'm sorry, tribute
bands.
Well,
we do like the cover bands. They might have
tribute
a decent
bands, tribute
cover
bands.
Tent.
Tribute bands. We got to get that right.
Yeah.
And then some, looks like some local acts. But yeah, they supposedly have all their reserve seats sold out. Probably because they talked people from last year into just swapping last year's tickets for this year. I mean, this year for next year, I guess, to be accurate. We're not into 2021 yet. I wish we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can start getting vaccinated.
How much are the tickets for the Rockfest this year?
Right now they're $129 for a 3-day general admission pass, it looks like.
Huh.
You stupid son of a bitch.
Your campsite and your campground access wristband, apparently. You know, they get you with little add-ons here and there. But I did read an article about Ticketmaster working on trying to set up a new protocol for ticketing for shows for 2021 and trying to work with like some third party vendor that will actually verify people's vaccination status. And they're looking at, you know, saying that basically people will have to either be able to verify through this, you know, third party records holder that they've been vaccinated or that they've had a negative test, like could be within 24 or 48 hours or something of the event. And that this like third party app would have that information, not really share your personal, you know, medical records with Ticketmaster, but they'd get confirmation that, you know, you're good to go. So you're not going to come in and infect everybody and turn the place into a super spreader. So, you know, as you can imagine, I mean, Ticketmaster's got a lot of money at stake to try to get people into shows next year. So I don't know. Maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
Get those vaccines rolling out and whatnot. And maybe.
Oh, I think they're going to have the vaccines rolling out here pretty quick. They're starting the vaccines in December. So
that's what they say. We'll see. Hopefully. I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, should we get to the NFL picks for what'd it be, week 13? Right?
Yeah, you got them up there, or do I need to pull them up, or what?
Oh, I've got them up.
We just missed week 13, I guess, eh? I mean, 12? Wait. 12, yeah. So we'll be looking at week 13.
All right, week 13. Where do we sit in the standings?
Fudgesicles. I don't have an update from last time when we were neck and neck, so let's just pretend like we're still neck and neck.
All right.
And then we'll have an update next time.
All right, here's some NFL games. So the first game...
Let me grab my pencil so I can jot down these picks, though. Because we want to make sure I have an official record of all these fabulous picks.
Sure. So, the first game, the Browns... Not ready yet.
I still getting my pencil. I got my pencil. Give me something to write on. I got something to write on too.
Okay, good, good. Alright, so the first game, we got your Browns at the Tennessee Titans. Titans are a four point favorite at home. Let's say you enjoy.
Man, after what the Titans just did in the Colts today, man, they look strong. I think they're going to go Titans.
I'm going to take the Titans too. I mean, Henry rushed for like a zillion yards today. So, I'm going to go Titans too.
Good
next
job.
Game. Thank you. Colts at Texans. Texans are a 2.5 point dog at home. I'm going to pick first. I'm going to go with the Colts. No brainer. Paul?
Did Texans play this week or were they on bye?
No, I think they played.
Did they play Detroit? Who beat Detroit? It was the Texans, wasn't it? You know what? I'm going to stick with you, though. I'm going to take the Colts. Bounce back week. Next.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I'll get the next here. The Washington football team at the Steelers. Steelers are a 10-point favorite.
Well, that's a tough one.
Dog against the Washington football team.
I'll take the Ballers to the post.
I'll take the Steelers. What the hell? Then we got the Saints at the Falcons. Falcons are a 3.5 point dog at home. But they did just kick the shit out of your Las Vegas Raiders ball.
They really
so
did.
Say you.
So Atlanta's plus 3.5. I don't know. I picked the first last one.
I'm gonna go with the Saints.
Sure.
Hill's been doing a good job. Yeah, Hill's doing a good job building the Breeze.
And I might regret this, but I'll go with the Dirty Birds.
Okay.
Gotta come to an end like the Saints release.
How about the Raiders at the Jets? Jets are 7.5 point dog. I'm gonna go Jets.
Jets are plus 7.5. Yeah, I guess go with Raiders and the bounce back.
Oh, okay.
Probably regret that one also.
Lions and Bears, Paul. Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my. Bears are a 3.5 point favorite at home against your Lions.
God, that's probably going to change. 3.5 points for the Bears. The Lions stink. The Bears stink. I'll go with the Bears.
Okay. Giants at Seahawks.
Well, who are you
Seahawks
taking?
I'm going to take the Bears.
Really?
Giants
the Chicago
at
Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
Did you watch them tonight against the Packers?
No, I didn't. I lost $10 on the game, though, because I took the Bears in 9 points.
Wow, that was dumb.
And lost.
Whoa. So why don't you just go back and try the Bears again then, huh? Okay. What's the next game?
I hate the Lions. Giants at Seahawks. Seahawks are our 8.5-point favorite.
You hate the Lions more than the Bears?
Yeah. The Lions are just garbage. It's the white trash team of the NFL. They're just always garbage.
That's
racist. Garbage. It's a garbage franchise in a garbage town. They're just garbage.
Wow.
Giants at Seahawks.
So much racism there. I won't even.
It's no racism.
Call them a white trash team in a garbage town. I don't know. Anyway, Giants in Seattle. Seattle's laying how many?
8.5.
It's at Seattle. I'll take Seattle and lay all those points.
Okay. I'll take Seattle too. Sorry.
Of course you will.
Jaguars at my Minnesota Vikings. Vikings are 9.5-point favorite at home.
Oh, who do you like there?
Vikes.
Give me the 9.5 points.
Oh my God, the Jaguars are horrible. Horrible. Oh, horrible.
Just like they did today.
I don't think so.
Against somebody.
Against you don't know Browns. Who they played today? The Browns?
No, they played the 8-5 Browns and they only lost by 2. So wait until they get a hold of the 5-6 Vikings. I'm sorry, the Browns are 8-3? They are.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yep.
Rams at Cardinals,
dude. Vikings.
Cardinals are a 1.5 dog at home against the Rams.
The Cards are +1.5.
Yep.
Against the Jalen Ramseys. You like what I did right there?
Yep, I do.
I will take the Rams.
Okay. I'll take the Cardinals, no problem. Patriots at Chargers.
Yeah, what's the line?
Oh, I'm sorry. Patriots at Chargers. Chargers are a 1-point favorite.
Who do you like?
Oh, it's my turn to pick first, isn't it?
Yep.
I'll take the Chargers.
In San Diego, I'm also going to take the Chargers.
Okay. Eagles at the Shit Packers. Shit Packers are a 7.5-point favorite.
Packers all day long. You want
I hate to say it.
Reach down and
I'll take the Packers. Broncos at your Kansas City Chiefs. Paul. Chiefs are a 13.5-point favorite. 13.5.
Oh God! Let's see now. Do we know any? Like, is Denver going to be any quarterbacks? You know they had a wide receiver from the practice squad. Wide receiver off the practice squad who played quarterback his freshman year at Wake Forest. And he was awful. I think somebody in our family picked up this guy and played him at wide receiver, hoping he'd like score more points because he was playing quarterback. And I think he ended up with negative points. So.
Negative points.
So if this guy's playing, I think his name was Hinton. If he's playing quarterback for Denver next week, they could lose by like 100 points. but
I'm gonna go with the Chiefs. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
I don't know. Maybe though. I'm assuming Denver will get somebody back, and I'll take Denver in all those points.
Okay.
I'm crossing Cowboys, my fingers and hoping they have an experienced quarterback at the helm.
I was going to say Cowboys at Ravens. Yeah. Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, December 7th. Yeah.
4 o'clock? What is that? Pacific
There's
time?
No line yet.
Well, how can we bet that with no line?
I don't know. Just both take the Ravens.
Make one up. I mean, Dallas at Baltimore, that should be like minus 6.5 for Baltimore. We'll just bet it based on that.
Yeah, I'd still take Baltimore. No problem.
Man, they've been struggling, though. What if it was -8.5?
I don't know. You can't just make your own line. We go with whatever
Vegas
says.
Let's just make it -8.5 to make it interesting. You still take Baltimore or you want Dallas?
No, I'll take Baltimore.
All right, I'll take Dallas at +8.5.
All right, last game, dude. Bills at the 49ers. Niners are a 3-point dog at home.
Wow, that's
against the Bills.
San Francisco +3. Buffalo playing at San Francisco, traditional Monday night game.
Yep.
I'll go Buffalo.
All right. Buffalo it is. I'm going to take the Niners.
Oh, okay.
You got taking the Niners. All right.
How about you want a bonus pick? You want to do bonus picks? Monday Night Football from week 12 here. Seattle at Philadelphia. Philadelphia +6.5. No.
What's the line again?
Philadelphia +6.5.
Oh. No, I'll take the Seahawks.
Yeah, I was gonna do the same.
Yeah, another no brainer.
And then we got one more bonus game Tuesday night, Baltimore at Pittsburgh. And right now they are saying Pittsburgh is a 10-point favorite at home. You know, Baltimore's had more COVID cases or whatever, which is why that got pushed from Thursday to Sunday and now Tuesday.
Huh.
Who knows if it'll even get played?
Give me the Ravens to cover.
You know, that's what I was gonna say too.
We're not retarded, you know? we're gonna make a lot of the same picks, unfortunately.
So those bonus games aren't gonna change our standings, but we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seven games that we're on opposite sides of. Go Atlanta, okay. Las Vegas, Jacksonville, Rams, Denver, Dallas, and Buffalo.
Okay,
and
guy.
They go other teams. Yeah. All right, guy.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think so.
What did I learn? What did I learn? Brought to you by your friends over at Carpenter Realty, Paul Lamby over at Carpenter Realty, Evolve Entertainment for all your entertainment needs in Minnesota, and our new sponsor, Who Hurt You Sauces. Who Hurt You Sauces. You can find them on Facebook. Who Hurt You? What did I learn? I learned there's a lot of wretched Christmas movies that you should avoid watching. So any of you, don't watch those. I've learned that there's still a lot of people on Facebook pushing the whole anti-mask thing. Don't fall for it. Hopefully, me reading that account of my tit-a-tat with one of them will give you some ammunition. You know, you don't need to play dirty. You don't need to call names. You don't need to bring up the former president who will not be named on this show. Try to hit them with as many facts as you can. More than likely, you're not going to change their minds. But hit them with facts. Hit them with some facts. Hopefully, you get a couple more people out there to put a mask on. I've learned that using Zencaster now instead of the traditional way, which I was doing with a soundboard and a digital recorder for you tech heads out there that do podcasts. I mean, this is pretty fun. It's fun to embrace technology. I don't know, Paul, what did you learn?
Everything you learned.
Everything I learned.
Yeah. I learned that the virus that may or may not be real is wreaking havoc with the NFL schedule.
Right.
Also, what about the college football? I mean, that's a disaster too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a disaster. But you know, these kids are out there playing in a pandemic, so just deal. Deal. You're not going to get every game or the national championship. You know, I don't know. How valid is it anyway, this year, Paul, in your opinion?
I think it's all, none of it's too valid. I mean, hey, you know, I don't blame the kids, obviously. They're just trying to do what they do, play the game, but, you know, I just think the idea of, like, thinking they were going to be able to play a season without, like, being in a bubble was kind of silly.
Right. Well, that's it. That's an hour and 20 minutes. I hope you enjoyed the show. We're available on all social media platforms.
I did. Did you?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh, you were talking to the audience. I'm sorry.
No, I'm talking to you. We're on all social media platforms if you want to reach out. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star. We're on Apple iTunes, and we're on Spotify, everything. And find us on Facebook. Shout out. Give me a hello. And tell your friends to listen. And as far as I'm concerned, the show is over. You want to say anything else, Paul, or is it, can I?
If people want more info, you know, on the show and everything, they should go to getwisecracking.com, right? Is that the spot?
Yeah, they can head over to the website for sure.
Yeah, you get like the expanded show notes and the links, you know, that sometimes are funny and relevant to the information discussed on the show.
Right.
Good ways to reach out to your sponsors. Maybe we'll get a link on there for what is it? He Hate Me Hot Sauce?
Who Hurt You Sauces?
Who Hurt You? Who Hurt You Sauces? Yeah, maybe we get a link right there on the getwisecracking.com.
Yeah, for sure. Look it up. Thanks for listening, guys. Yes. Goodbye.
Get wisecracking.